We are wrapping up a sermon series that has been going for the month of April. It was kind of our post-Easter series, and it's called I Choose. And it's been looking at four vital decisions that we make, oftentimes whether we know it or not. We started with choosing God's purposes over greener pastures. We talked about choosing surrender over control. And we've been challenged to look to God rather than look to ourselves. And it's been difficult. It's been a hard journey for me. I don't know that there's ever been a sermon series that I've had to preach more to myself than I have had to preach it to my people. Last week, we talked about discipline, and I've shared some of my own personal struggles, and I've kind of been laying it out on the line. It's one of those vulnerability things that they teach you not to do in life, that they say don't open up too much, just let them know enough. And so I've been challenging myself even just to share just deeply with you so that you can maybe relate some of my own personal struggles to yourself. I hope that it's been encouraging to you, not just challenging as we walk through this series together. And today we close this series off, and I think it's one of those interesting things. If you haven't been here, these messages stand alone, but they're all down. If you actually have enough time to get through everything that you want to in your life, I'd love to sit down with you and find your secret, because I am perpetually faced with having to prioritize different things to try to get the most important or most urgent things done by the end of the week. And I think virtually everybody, if not at very least most of us, would say that we wish we had more time for the important things in our lives. We wish we had more time for friends, or more time for our kids, more time for our spouses, or even more time just to rest and relax and recuperate. So many of us, even when we have time off, we spend it traveling rather than resting, and we come back more exhausted than when we left. And when we're home, there is so much to do on the horizon that we can't just stop and relax or rest. There's yards to be mowed, there's dishes to be done, there's chores to complete, there's projects at work that are on the horizon, and you've got to get everything in order. There are final papers that are due this week, and you haven't started it yet. There's kids' stuff that go on, and the more longer I've been involved with youth, I've seen more and more demands placed on our children's lives. And so not only are parents raising their kids, but they're taking them to the myriad of activities that, like baseball or softball, choral performances, parent-teacher conferences, fundraisers, dramas, bake sales. The list goes on and on and on and on. Come give me batteries. That's right, serve me. I won't walk until I have power in that. I just can't do the handheld. I just can't. I need my hands free. It's amazing, though, that the demands of life make you feel so often like your life is out of your control. You feel like you're a slave to the expectations of others. And let's be honest, we can take it a step further. And let me see if you can guess the answer to this. The most common response when I ask people how their week has been or how they're doing, can you imagine, can you guess what the most common response to that question is? Well, besides good, busy. And, you know, it's funny because for me, I have found that that is my go-to response. Because life is busy. Life has so much going on that we don't have time to catch our breath. But I was challenged recently, actually it was Andy Stanley, it was a podcast or a sermon or a small group that I heard a couple years ago. I'm trying to give credit where credit is due, but I'm doing him a disservice in this. That I was challenged to rethink the way that I look at busyness, because often my life is full, and your life is full. But often we use this idea, this excuse of I'm busy, as a reason why we can't do certain things. It's easy because everyone understands what busy means. But what I was challenged with was to restate in my mind what I mean when I say I am busy. Because what I found and what he challenged me was it's not that you don't have enough time. I have enough time for the things I choose to make time for. What you need to say and what I've been challenged to say is I can't make that a priority. And as I've been thinking about it this week, I've been thinking about the reality of how much in my life I focus on that are urgent. And you probably get this. There's a lot in life for you that are urgent, and they take up an extraordinary amount of time. And when you get to the end of your week, you look back and you think, I did a lot, but I didn't accomplish a lot. Or I did a lot of urgent things, but I left some of the important things left out. Because you'll probably notice this, that the things that continuously demand your time are rarely the things that are most important. And this is why this is such a critical choice that we need to make, is because it takes some self-reflection that we need to forcibly at times take a step back from all of the demands that come to us in life and to, with God's help, begin to choose, to identify, and then choose the things in our lives that are most important. Understand that there is a difference, and when you choose the things that are important in your life, it is going to be a battle. Because choosing the important things in your life means saying no to some things that seem urgent. The problem for me is that I have mislabeled my priorities. And you may have mislabeled your priorities. We've mislabeled urgent things as important. We've mislabeled secondary things as the number one, and we've taken the most important things in our lives and made them optional. We go and we go through life and we don't feel like we can choose what we do, but in our feeling of lack of choice, in fact, we are choosing how we live our lives. You do have a choice. Schools may tell you you don't, but you do. Work may even try to convince you that you don't, but you do. In life, you are always given a choice on how you spend your time and who you spend it with. But what is difficult for us within the church is that we have allowed the world to define what is important to us instead of God. I hear a lot as a pastor, people bemoan the world's increasing secularization, America's increasingly secularization. They complain that stores are open on Sunday, or they complain that there's school sports, or there are drama productions, and there's all kinds of things. Sunday's just another day now. And while that's true,
and the world is moving away from the values of God, I would just say I don't expect the world to abide by my values, but that's a discussion for another day. The reality is that when we are faced with what is important versus what is urgent, suddenly we are actually forced to make the decision. Because now we have to decide whether we're going to go to football practice on Sunday morning, or are we going to worship on Sunday morning. It used to be you didn't have to make the decision. It was already made for you. You only had one. But now, I think the secularization of America is kind of a good thing because it actually reveals our priorities. It reveals what's important to us. But as I have found myself, even I am not exempt from misplaced priorities. So don't think that I'm talking to you as if you are bad little people and I am up here on the platform looking down over my nose at you. I struggle with making the important things first in my life because it's easy to overlook spending time in God's Word on a daily basis when you have 100 things on your to-do list and you know you won't get those done anyways. In fact, it's actually easier as a pastor to do that because my work is reading the Bible. You may be surprised to know that, but that is like a good probably 40% of my job is reading and studying Scripture. So it's so easy for me to say, well, I'm reading the Bible. This is basically devotions. It's not. But it's easy to convince yourself of something that is not. And it's so easy to convince yourself that the urgent things in life are important. And it's so easy to convince yourself that the important things in life aren't that important. And as I've been thinking and studying, I keep coming back this week to the book of Luke, chapter 10. And Luke tells a story of two sisters that you probably are familiar with. Their names are Mary and Martha. In fact, it's a commonly told story in Scripture. So if you've been in church for a long time, you know this story. You know where we're going with this. In fact, the problem for most of us is that we know what we're supposed to do, but this kind of comes back to last week is the discipline thing. This is why it builds on each other, because it takes discipline to choose the important. And in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, Jesus is traveling with his disciples and they come to a village, the village of Bethany, where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Martha, I just want to apologize up front. I'm not talking to you unless the Lord wants to speak to you in person. But I just want to make sure you know that I am not directing this at you. But let's get one thing straight. Martha is one of those people that probably get an undue amount of, like, she's terrible. Because let's be honest, if you, like, told me right now, it's like, hey, Jordan, I want to come to your place for lunch today. Number one, I'd look at you because you're crazy. Like, that is so socially unacceptable. Like, that is not cool. But I'd be like, give me 20 minutes. And I'd bust home and I'd need to clean up. Like, I'd need to get things in order for you to come over to my house. Now take that and flip it to somebody that is so far, like, their position is so far above anybody in this place, any of us. You think of somebody like Jesus saying, I'm not going to come to your house today. Martha reacted naturally. Martha reacted like so many of us would. She was probably throwing things in her junk room, because we all have junk rooms, right? We all have that one room that it's like, thou shalt not enter this room. You know, she may have been putting things under the bed, because that's the other thing, that's the other hiding place where people just kind of throw things. Or maybe it's just me and I'm awful. But I'm hearing some, like, oh yeah, I have that room. We're painfully aware when somebody we care about comes to our house and it's not put together to some degree. And so I look at Martha, and my first thought there is, she's reacting like a lot of us would. And sometimes we look at these Bible stories and we think, she just didn't get it. But what I felt as I read this week was how much of Martha tends to be within me. Because I often tend to get distracted by all the preparations that need to be made. Now, it may not be for guests to come here, but there is so much in my life, so many preparations to get through my week that need to be made, that it can be very, very easy to miss the small and important things. You see, Martha was so distracted by the urgent that she missed the important. And life can be so full of distractions that you'll find yourself missing the things that matter most, and sacrificing them at the altar of the things that are urgent. Distractions are so common that we find ourselves bombarded by them with them every day. I know for me, sometimes I can get so distracted. This one day I was reading, and I had this thought that crossed my mind that I'm like, I need to go get my iPad so I can make a note of this. And so I go to where I usually keep it, which is by the couch, and I look, and it's not there. And so I go to my home office, and I check in there, it's not there. And I go to the kitchen table, where sometimes I'll work, or the dining room table, and I look there, it's not there. And I'm like, where's my iPad? I don't want to miss this. And so I go to the car. I was at the church that day. I'm like, maybe I left it in the car. No, it's not there. I look, Apple has this like Find My Phone app that you can pull it up, and it's like, all right, where's my iPad? And it's like, it's in the house. And I'm like, okay, it's here. Where is my iPad? And I don't know if I was tired. I don't know what was going on in my life. I was home alone, thankfully. But I look down at my hand and I think, you moron. I was reading from my iPad, and I couldn't get past my own mental process long enough to recognize that I was holding the thing. I mean, let's be honest, if you wear glasses, you've looked for your glasses when they're on your face before, right? Okay, I mean, we've all done it. Maybe not that dumb. Maybe, hopefully. Please don't judge me for that. But distract, too late, thanks. But the distractions of life can be like that you can be looking and wanting to fulfill the most important thing, and you're looking at it the whole time and wondering, how can I do the important things in my life? And you miss the thing that you're holding in your hand the entire time. It's right there in front of your face. So often, we're like Martha, distracted by the things going on around us. Martha's in the presence of Jesus, and she's missing it. She's missing the blessing that's available to her just to spend time with Jesus. But she's frantically running around trying to get everything done, and she doesn't have enough time to do it, and she's exhausted and weary and irritated. Because instead of helping her get stuff done, her sister is sitting on her derriere and doing zip. Now, I get Martha. I totally get Martha. I'm the oldest of six, and let me tell you, I know when my siblings didn't pull their weight, I wasn't happy. You get that. Let's be honest, this is probably super sexist, but wives, you get this. Because I know I don't pull my weight either. I'm awful for this. And so she comes to Jesus, and she thinks she's found an ally. She comes to him and says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work herself? Tell her to help me. She was under every understanding that Jesus would be like, Mary, get up. But Jesus used this opportunity to teach something different, to offer maybe a bit of a different way of looking at things. And he said to her, he said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. You know, the thing about Martha is that I think that her heart was genuine. I think her actions came out of a place for love and respect for Jesus, and wanting to offer him what was best, and wanting to present the best meal and the cleanest house and be the best host that she could be. I believe her heart was genuine. I believe it was in the right place, but her focus was all wrong. While Jesus longed for her to join her sister and just spend time with him, listening to his teachings, enjoying his presence, Martha couldn't see past her list of tasks, and instead she chose to strain and struggle and even lash out at her family. Even getting to the point where I almost got the sense that she thinks she knows better than Jesus. And that's the problem with misplaced priorities. We allow the strain and the stress of life to steal our joy and destroy our peace. And our misplaced priorities cause us to miss out on the most important things. The urgent things fill up your life because they seem important. They have the sense of requiring our full and immediate attention, but in the end, we find that they actually mean very little. And so many of us fall into the same trap that Martha fell into, the tyranny of the urgent. There are so many things that vie for our attention that seem invaluable. This idea of the fear of missing out has caused us to value the urgent over the important. Let me give you one more example of distractions that I think every single one of us can recognize. Maybe if you were the mature of us all, you may not be drawn to the distraction that this little rectangle presents in my life. But I know a lot of people that are more mature than I am. And I'm saying mature because that's how a lot of older people in my life say mature. But this has become the number one distraction in my life. It is a wonderful tool. It helps me get a lot done. But I have found that the little ding on my iPhone causes me to interrupt some of the most important things in my life, just so I can see who it is that thought it was important enough. And let's be honest, it's like 80% of the time it's somebody sending me a GIF, like a little animated picture. Like, it's, I will call it whatever I want. There's an eternal, for those out of the loop, those animated pictures on the internet, there's a war between whether it's called a GIF or a GIF. I call it either one. In fact, the teens made fun of me a few weeks ago for calling it a GIF. So, listen, come at me. I don't care. It's not that important. See, that's not important, Russell! Do you see what you're doing to me? But this phone, I have been on date nights that I have interrupted to check my messages. I have been away on vacation and allowed my phone to interrupt what's important. Generally speaking, it doesn't distract me during church. Though, now that the Bible app is starting to get used in church, I get notifications anytime somebody on my friends list on the Bible app highlights something. So it's kind of fun, because apparently Kara highlighted something this morning. So what's up, Kara? That's an alert on my phone right now. So congratulations. It's actually, it warms my heart when I see people in church highlighting things in the Bible app, because it's like, they're paying attention. This is cool. Gee, I hope you were paying attention when you highlighted that. I don't know what you did. But life can get so distracting that important conversations can get derailed because of your cell phone. Your important relationships can be devalued because you got a tweet or because somebody commented on something dumb you posted on Facebook or an email that turns out to just be spam anyways. But we allow the urgent to take the place of the important, and we are bombarded by things that demand our time. And it's effortless to allow ourselves to miss the important, because important tasks rarely feel urgent. Spending time with God rarely feels urgent. Spending time in prayer rarely feels urgent. Helping somebody in need rarely feels urgent. That's why they're so easy to miss. The demands of life are so easy to get in the way. There are endless reasons that you could probably give why it's easier to stand in line for 12 hours to go see a Marvel movie or a Star Wars movie, but it's difficult to get up out of bed 15 minutes early to read your Bible. There are probably countless reasons why it makes perfect sense to get up at 4 a.m. and drive 3 hours to take your son to a hockey game. But we can't seem to figure out this church starts at 10 o'clock. And I struggle with that too. Like, don't just think, like, this is my job too. But it's one of those things that it's like, this is my job. But I struggle with this prioritizing the important things and being where I need to be at the right time, because this, for me, is urgent because it's my job. And let's be honest, if I didn't show up, y'all probably would be a little dissatisfied with my job performance. But if I'm honest, when I'm not paid to be at church, it becomes real easy to be late. And I'm not coming down on anybody that struggles with that. Understand, this isn't about trying to guilt you into getting to church on time. Though there's a whole discussion that could be had on why that matters. Like, not just because of me, but like, there is something to be said for it. And if you feel like racked with guilt right now, no, it's not coming from me. That might be Jesus talking. But there's something about life that allows us to even, let's take church of the equation for a moment, because that can be a hot button issue for some of us. But think about your families, parents. There are some parents that are so driven to see their kids get an A that they will push them to their breaking point, and they would risk destroying the relationship between a father and a son, a mother and a son, or however you want to, just so that they can get an A. It doesn't matter the impact on the relationship so long as they get that A and they get into that good school. Or we're driven to work hard to provide for a family that we never see. And I know sometimes those decisions are out of our hands, but so often they are the decisions that we make. We invest our lives in the urgent at the expense of the important. And the problem with investing our time and our lives into the urgent over the important is that you always reach a point of diminishing returns. You always reach a point of diminishing returns when you invest in the urgent over the important. The problem for Martha and the problem for us often is not that our focus is on the bad. Most of us that go to church, we aren't focused on bad things. We're focused on good things when God is calling us to focus on great. We are called to focus on the things of God and to seek first His kingdom. And we often allow the good things in our lives to get in the way of God's best. And that's something I mess up all the time. And you know, in all of this rush of life, I keep coming back to what Jesus said to Martha when he looks at her and says, "You're up worried and you're upset over all these details. And there is only one thing worth being concerned about. And Mary has discovered it." And I think of how rarely I allow myself to forcibly remove myself from the hustle and bustle of life and just be with God. And just spend time with Him. Not preparing a sermon, not doing a Bible study or prepping for youth, not doing vision planning or looking at core values or writing up mission statements, but just spending time with God. Just resting in Him. You see, Jesus, in his central call, that was actually, I think, the verse of the day in the Bible app is this verse from Matthew chapter 11 that says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." And even though the world around us is teaching us to pursue and pursue and pursue, and we're told, and I'm bombarded from every angle, even within the church, that the highest thing that I could do is be productive. And that I am gauged, my work ability is gauged by how productive I can be. This stands in the face of productivity. This stands and declares that I am willing to sacrifice productivity for my own soul. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He will give you everything that you need." One of the core commandments that God gave the people of Israel in the Ten Commandments was about rest. And there's a really good book that I read by Walter Brueggemann. It's called Sabbath is Resistance, that talks about this idea of God being a God of rest. And he said that when God gave them the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel, they had just come from centuries of bondage to pharaohs, to kings that not only saw themselves as supreme rulers, but as God-like. And so to the people of Israel, the only God they functionally had was a group of pharaohs that saw themselves as gods. And as gods, they were taskmasters. And they were relentless. There was never anything good enough for them. Under Pharaoh, there was no rest, no peace, and certainly no Sabbath for his slaves. He demanded endless production and productivity, and to him, no amount of work would ever be good enough. The more they did, the more he demanded. Under Pharaoh, the people of Israel were only valued for what they could do for him. Rest meant that they were not working, and not working meant the production slowed or was stopped. So not only would a day of rest be seen as foreign to them, but at times it was so unfamiliar to them that they couldn't even grasp it. And so when God revealed himself to the people of Israel and he said, "Take one day. Take one day and make it different. Take one day and say, I will not allow this to be sullied by anything else." It was an act of war against the way of life that they had lived for centuries. In fact, Brueggemann writes, and he talks about not only the people of Israel then, but now, he says, "Sabbath becomes a decisive, concrete, visible way of opting for and aligning with the God of rest." When you choose the important things you will discover something that a busy life will never give you. When you choose God's best, you will discover a peace that can never be found in the workplace, that can never be found in academic excellence, that will never be found out on the sports field. It won't be found in a clean home. It won't be found in a perfect-looking life. It can only be found when we make the choice to decisively, concretely, and visibly opt for and align with the God of rest. Because that is what Jesus wants for you. Jesus wants you to have rest, to have peace. And it's something that you have to choose. If you don't choose it, you will never have it. It is an active struggle, an active battle that you will have to scrap for every inch, because the world will not want you to take it, and the enemy will want it even less. But God is calling you into rest. In all the hurry and the stress that life will bring, God wants to meet with you. Jesus wants you to sit at his feet. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 46, that in verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." So the challenge for us this morning is to together choose the important, to choose the things of God, to choose to encounter the God of rest, and to actively war against the things of life that will try to steal your peace and your rest and your joy. And it will be a battle. It will be a struggle, and it will be a war. But together with the power of Christ living in me, we can choose to realign ourselves decisively, concretely, and visibly with the God of rest. Don't allow your misplaced priorities to pull you away from God. Don't be a slave to the tyranny of the urgent. Don't let the world define how you should live, but look to God and choose the important over the urgent. And in choosing the important, you will find peace that seems so evasive. You'll find joy that seems so elusive. When you embrace the important things that God has for you, it will change everything in your life. Would you pray with me? Father God, Lord, I want to come to you this morning and in a bit of a different feel. I want to just take a moment and just be silent before you. And as we do, I don't know if this is something that you make a habit of, but life is so loud that silence can be deafening. So in this moment, maybe quietly you can talk to God, you can pour out your heart to him. Maybe you can just sit and take it in. Maybe you are going to sit and listen, and maybe God will say something to you. But just for a moment, let us sit at the feet of Jesus.